Thank you for tuning in to the World Overcomers podcast. On behalf of our senior pastor, Andy Thompson, we appreciate your continued support and generosity. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast to receive updates when we post new content every week. To learn more about World Overcomers or Pastor Andy, please visit worldovercomers.church. Enjoy the message.
1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, and I'm going to ask you to stand for the word for just a minute, and we're going to jump right into it. If you're not prepared, you can look on the screens and read along with us. If you're not prepared, that's pretty small print, so if you can make that a little bit bigger, that'll be awesome, but we're going to jump right into it. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse 14, here we go, and this is the Bible. This is the Bible. I'm going to read a little bit of the Bible. Amen? I said amen? So not act like we all have been reading the Bible all week. Let's read some of the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse 14, Paul says, keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have departed from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. Verse 19, nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription, the Lord knows them that are his. The Lord knows those who are his. The Lord knows those who belong to him. And everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. And 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 9, once again reading out of the NIV. And once again, you can look on the screens that are reading along with us if you're not prepared. This is a very familiar passage of scripture. We used to sing a song about this verse that Peter writes and says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, a people belonging to God. That one verse says, a peculiar people, that you may declare the praises of him, that you may show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The title of my message this morning is, we got next. We got next. Bow your head, let me pray for you. Lord, I pray that you'll speak, Lord, just now, some wonderful truth you have for us to see in these next 20 minutes or so. Have your way in us. Kingdom of God come. Will of God be done. In Jesus' name we pray. We all said together, amen. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. We got next. If I can draw your attention to verse number 10, where Peter writes and says, once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. When I was younger, this was a little bit of my start on New Year's service, and our New Year's service was awesome. We baptized about 200 people in about 2 hours. We had about 30 people get baptized spontaneously. Almost all of those were men, so you ought to praise God for that. I didn't even really get a chance to really share. I mean, I didn't get a chance to share. But in New Year's service, I started off by saying when I was younger, I used to play ball. I grew up in the city of Boston, and I used to play a lot of pickup basketball. Now, if you've ever played pickup basketball, you know, and if not, I'm going to explain it to you. You go down to the court. Really, there's two ways to play. You can go down to the court by yourself, and you can look down the line, and you can say, who got next? That means there's a game going on and somebody is there watching the game, and whoever loses has to come off the court, and the person that's watching, who's got next? Somebody steps up and says, I got next. When that person says, I got next, that means that they're going to be on the court next and they get to choose their own team. So you can go down by yourself and say, who's got next? And if you say, who's got next? And they point to him and you look at him, and now you're looking at him and you're saying, can I run with you? The problem is, if he don't know you, he don't know if you're good. He don't know if you can play. And if you win, you stay on. You win, you stay on the court. So you can't just have anybody on your team, especially if you got next. So if you go down to the court and say, who got next? and they say this dude down here, and you say, can I run with you? He might say yes. He might say, I don't know, because he's watching players and seeing how they're playing, and he don't know if you're good. And so now you got to start doing some stuff in which you look like you can play. You got to walk in with a swagger. If you carry your shoes with you, you really look like a baller. If you go there in a matching outfit, you're not going to get picked up. But if you start doing something, I would spin the ball on my finger, let it roll around my arm and do that kind of stuff and that kind of thing. And you have to look like it. You have to be a certain amount of looking, a certain amount of something to get picked up, because you're dependent on just yourself. And you have gone down there in your meanest trying to get picked up. And you want to be on a good team too, because winners keep playing. So you can go down there and say, who got next? That's not the way I really like to go down there. The way I like to go to the court is I like to go to the court with my brother Matthew, who was a point guard who played at Morehouse, and with this guy named Chris Sumner, who was a guy who played semi-pro, and with my brother Joey, who was an all-conference player. I was just a shooter. I was just okay. I wasn't as good as them. I like to go down with them at least four strong, and we would go down there, and we would look down, and we would say, we got next. Because we got next is a more powerful statement than who got next. Because it doesn't matter who is there, we got next. And when the four of us get on the court, it's going to be hard to get us off, because our we power is more powerful than your me power. Here Peter says, once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. I want you to acknowledge that the Bible is glorifying or is celebrating the fact that you now get to be a people. This is really weird. This is really strange. It's peculiar in America. It's peculiar amongst us. It's peculiar today, because we have spent a great deal of time trying to make you feel really good about yourself in your meanness. The advancement of technology, laws, rules, power, cops, fire department. There was a time when you could not put a fire out without a we. Have all the smoke detectors you want. We live in a world now where your smoke detector goes off, something starts smoking. If you see fire, you can pick up a phone and call, and people can come and help you put out a fire, so you can stay an individual and not be dependent on a we. But there was a time when you couldn't fight a fire without a we. You could not survive without a we. Now you can get up and go down to Harris Teeter or Food Lion or Walmart or whatever grocery store you go to literally around the world, and you can buy all the grapes and buy bread and buy all the stuff you want. But there was a time when you could not eat if you did not belong to a we. There's a show that I like to watch called Alone, in which they just drop folk off in some random place by themselves. It is much more difficult as a human being to provide for yourself as an individual when there's no we. And we are telling ourselves that our meanness is enough. For those of you that are watching around the world through your phone or through your device, or part of the reason why I've been challenging you all day to come down together is because I don't think you can be your best self only as a me. I think it takes we to be your best you. Now, I understand why we are so determined to glorify the power of the individual. We want people to be able to express their individuality, so much so that now we want people to be able to so acknowledge their feelings, even if they're four, even if they're six. I don't know if you remember what you were like when you were eight, but you weren't smart. So for you to decide at eight that you feel a way on the inside, and now that inside way that you feel is now something that we should medicate on the outside, I could almost get it if you're 18. I could really get it if you're 28. But for me to do that to you, or allow you to do that when you're eight, really doesn't make a lot of sense. And everybody's arguing about it without really focusing on what the real issue is. The real issue to me is age of consent. And if you can't vote to your certain age, or smoke to your certain age, or drive to your certain age, or drink to your certain age, or buy a gun to your certain age, I don't know how you're supposed to figure out what you are until you reach a certain age. Sorry. But what I'm saying is, I get why this is such a battle. It's a battle because we power is so strong that we can come together and suppress freedom. Especially if we has bad leadership. If a we has bad leadership, then the we will suppress all of the me's. And a nation may come together and decide to say, I don't know, wipe out the Jews. A nation may come together and, I don't know, decide to go on ships and carry people from their homeland and turn them into slaves. A people might decide to, I don't know, maybe think that they are going to now keep a certain group down because of how they look. And so we have to be careful because there's a lot of negative done in the name of we. Can I share what God is saying to me? And so as a result of the negative that is that can happen, as a result of the suppression that can happen, this is us. This is what we do as human beings. We have a tendency to get in one ditch or the other. And we battle extremes with extremism. We imagine these scenarios in which someone wants to exercise freedom to be an artist, and they can't be free to be an artist because they're being suppressed by a we that is determining what their life is. So their daddy was a plumber, and their granddaddy was a plumber, and their great-granddaddy was a plumber, or their daddy was a dentist, or their great-granddaddy was a dentist, or their daddy was a lawyer, or their great-granddaddy was a lawyer or a doctor, and they have no choice. And what we do is we glorify that through the media and through depictions in film and television, and our hearts go out to people who are gifted and are kept back as a result of a we. And we throw the baby out with the bathwater. And we decide that all we is bad. And we decide that no one should answer to we. Because we carries accountability with it. And we decide, I am my own free individual. This is, we are at the top of this right now. I am my own free individual. I do what I want. I don't answer to nobody. I can get what I want. I buy what I want. I spend what I want. I work what I want. I do exactly what I want to do. Can't nobody really tell me nothing. Almost nothing is passed down. Your grandmama was popping in the club right next to you. And so now there's barely any information that's passed down. And if you are descendant from anybody whose culture was robbed from them, then every single person starts over brand new at every generation. And the problem with that is it's hard to get far in 100 years. Ooh, help us, Holy Ghost. I'm trying to set something up here for you. And so if I sound annoyed by it, I am, because I love people and I lead people, and I've come to the understanding that you can only get so far by yourself. You're only going to get so blessed by yourself. You're only going to get so wealthy by yourself. You're only going to be but so good by yourself. And what's more, God is saying, you know what I've done for you? Once you were by yourself. Once you didn't have anybody you could depend on. Once you didn't have anybody you can trust. Once you didn't have anyone that you could lean on. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people. It's not enough just for you to be a person. Not enough just for you to be an individual. Praise God for that. But individuality has led us to some of the darkest times ever, We are more depressed than ever. I'm gonna sit down. We are more depressed than ever. We are more suicidal than ever. We are on more drugs than ever. We are on more vape pens than ever. We are on more weed than ever. We are more lost than ever. I need a witness in the book. Can we just admit that we are more lost than ever before? And all of this freedom that we are supposed to exercise has actually led us to confusion, in which we don't know what we're here to do, and we don't know why we're here, and we're lacking purpose. And what happens to us is, instead of chasing purpose, we start chasing pleasure. And ain't nothing wrong with pleasure as long as you ain't chasing it. But when you chasing pleasure, you're a rat in a maze. And a part of the reason why we are bereft of purpose is because we are bereft of belonging. We have decided that we only belong to us. But allow me the opportunity to correct you on who you belong to. The reason why the Lord said belong to me is because you don't just belong to you. You will not be your best self only answering to yourself. You must answer to someone besides just you. You must be accountable. You won't be grown if you're not accountable. You won't be grown until you have some responsibility for yourself. Till you pay in your own way. You aren't grown till you pay in your own stuff. Accountability makes you mature. And it's the challenge. It's meanness versus weanness. And it's why we have to understand very clearly that God's real plan for us is belonging. Paul says to Timothy, and I don't have a whole lot of time left, but Paul says to Timothy, listen, keep warning God's people. His words to me are clear. Keep warning God's people. Keep telling them against quarreling about words, and it's no value and only ruins those who listen. All the arguments over words, and do your best to present yourself as God, to God as one approved, a workman who's not ashamed, rightly dividing, and that my job is to make sure that godless chatter is not everything that dominates your life. Because folk get confused based on a lot of godless chatter, based on a lot of arguments about words, based on a lot of arguments about nouns, based on a lot of arguments around titles, based on a lot of arguments around foolishness, based on a lot of arguments about junk and stuff and things. And in verse 19, he says, nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm. See it with this inscription. The Lord knows them that are his. The Lord knows who belongs to him. Meaning that in my relationship with God, I don't get to have God and still just be me by myself. What we're doing is we're trying to take God and Christ and church, and we're trying to fit it to the individuality of our current world system. And the problem is, doesn't really work that well. There's something about fellowship together. There's something about belonging. There's something about being a part of something bigger than just yourself. That the part you play is not as big as the thing you're a part of. That you begin to see yourself eternally. That you realize, I realize I am running a race with a baton in my hand. And I'm trying to slap faith and wealth and blessing and advantage into the hand of somebody else. It is an empty life if I only live it for me. It is a life bereft of value. It is a life bereft of meaning. You can get all the sneakers and all the Jordans and all the cars and all the houses you want, but if you don't have love, it's nothing. If you don't have connection, it's nothing. If you don't have family, it's nothing. If you don't have anyone to leave nothing to, it's nothing. How can you leave everything you have to the Audubon Society? That there's something about God that makes you belong. Has my point been made this morning? I would like to hear everybody say amen. Want to correct something. The idea that you and God can be together alone, just the two of you, is a nice idea, but it's not really true. You will have to walk in the light as he is in the light. And as you walk in the truth, as God is in the truth, you'll end up having fellowship with other people who are walking in the truth. If you are closed off from truth walkers, you just make your truth walk harder. Let me just speak healing over everybody who has been betrayed and hurt and wounded and done wrong and molested and bothered by the people that were supposed to be closest to you, because that is the real attack. The real attack is to get you to stop belonging to anything. If you sitting here like, oh, trust nobody, I got you, bro. But that is a sad state of affairs, and you are not going to stay on the court just showing up by yourself. You got to get a we. You better say we got next, and you better know who you we with. Because you can me with the wrong we and end up jacked up. And we can pray for you all we want, but who you we with is who you will become. Oh, I need a witness in the building. No, I need a witness in the building to say, no, I got you, Pastor Andy. I hear you. All right. You need a sense of belonging. And so the question is, all right, well, where do I belong? Thank you. So glad you asked it, even though I'm the one that posed it for you. Where do you belong? I've got several places you belong. I'm going to share them with you, and I'll let you go. Anybody hearing a word from the Lord this morning? I'm almost done. If you're writing something down, you may want to write this down, because this is, I'm going to be talking about it all year. But where do you belong? You ought to have a sense of belonging, meaning that you ought to feel like you're in the right place. You ought to feel like you belong. You ought to feel like it. So where do you belong? Okay, well, the passage clearly states right from the beginning, number one, that God's foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription, the Lord knows them that are his. So number one, you belong to God. I would like everybody to say, I belong to God. Come on, that was weak. Everybody say, I belong to God. Everybody say, I am his and he is mine. That means that I recognize that I belong to him. I recognize that he purchased me with the blood of his son. I recognize that my sins are forgiven, which means that I am not my own. Now, I know that sounds almost scary and horrible, but it only sounds horrible because you have belonged to people who abused you and hurt you and wounded you and did not have your best interest at heart. If you have belonged to somebody or to someone's and there was blessing at the end of the belonging, you don't have a real problem with belonging to God, especially if God says, I know the plans I have for you. The plans are not to harm you. The plans are to give you hope, and the plans are to give you a future. If you could just trust me, we sang it today. If you will only trust me, I'll fight your battles. I'll heal your body. I'll heal your mind. I'll fix your knucklehead teenager. I'll do all kinds of things if you'll trust me, but I know who belongs to me and who don't. So you're not gonna play me. I know your heart, I know your mind, I know your thoughts are far off. I know if you're really dedicated to the kingdom or if you're just dedicated to yourself. So it's not seek the kingdom only, it's seek it first. So number one, you belong to God. Now, once you surrender your life and decide I belong to him, I am his and he is mine, and I am a believer. I'm a believer. I'm saved. I'm born again. I give my life to God. I give my life to Christ. I'm a Christian. It's who I am. I think to myself, what would God say about this before I do this? Because I'm walking in a relationship with him. As a result of belonging to God, number two, you belong to a people. It's the point that Peter's making in these both these verses. The Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter are both basically saying, yeah, well, once you were not a people, but now you are a people. And so you belong to God. You belong to a people. There's almost nothing more dangerous to you than for you not to belong to anybody. One of the reasons why the kingdom says to us that we belong to the kingdom is because there is a power in a unity with a group. Now, for all of us who our groups were robbed from us, I don't know if you've ever been around anybody that's a part of a group that belongs to a group, but there is a power in belonging to a group that we, for whatever reason, have a tendency to not have. And when I say we, I'm talking specifically about African Americans, but I think Americans as a whole, is that we are bereft of culture. We don't answer to a cultural need. We're not accountable to what our people need from us. I think we have to be careful that we don't become so reconciled that we're raided. There's a danger in the whole world speaking one language. It is easier for the whole world to be fooled when we all only speak one tongue. Understand, you belong to God. You ought to belong to somebody's. Number three, you belong to a land. You shouldn't just own property. Property should be something that you pass on. And the property is yours and you belong to it. The whole thing with Abraham started with God saying to him, I'll make you a great nation and I'm gonna give you a place. Right now, this whole war is about whether or not the children of Israel have a land. Because it is hard to be a people without a place. It is hard to be solid without a place. You can make an argument that God don't do flighty, flaky people. At some point, you'll have to belong somewhere. At some point, you'll have to belong to God. You'll have to belong to a church. You can't just get a little piece of this from this and a little piece of this from that and a little piece. At some point, you will have to decide, this is mine. This is belongs to me and I belong to it. The Lord says to Abram, I'll take you to a place and make you a great nation. Meaning that there's also a blessing in being in the right place. Somebody say, help me, Lord. Come on, somebody say, help me, Lord. Because I'm determined to change your whole mindset. You can't just have land just for you. You've got to leave something that your peoples can belong to. Number four, you belong to a call. There's a call on your life. Tell somebody, there's a call on your life.
That was weak.
Tell somebody, there's a call on your life. There's a call on you. We ought to understand this almost better than anybody because we all have a cell phone. I remember pay phones. I remember answer machines. I remember the cord that was on the phone so you can talk on the phone all day. I remember getting a girl's number and it was actually her house number. Now you live in a world in which you actually can screen your call. You can text. You, as a matter of fact, I don't let people just, you can't just call me. If you could just call me, you're special. You have to text me first. You're at another level if you can just call me. If you work for me, you better answer when I call. I get a small little attitude if you don't answer when I call. It's very interesting that we want God to answer when we call, but we don't answer when he calls. We flip our phone over and see it's God and throw it back down because we're watching a Netflix show. We see God is calling us and we flip it right back down because we are busy trying to get some. We see that it's God and we throw it back down because we got other things to do. And we think that God's all right with us not taking his call. Like you to know, he's not. And you're calling owns you. You belong to your purpose. Your life goes to a whole nother level, gentlemen, when you belong to your purpose. And then finally, you belong to yourself. Everybody say, I belong to God. That was weak. Everybody say, I belong to God. Everybody say, I belong to a people. You better figure out who your people are. Figure out who you can trust. Figure out who you can't trust. Figure out who loves you. Figure out who don't. Figure out who's got you. Figure out who don't. The family you come from, the family you make. Figure out where you belong. Who are your people? Don't visit Europe and not visit Africa. Find out where you came from. I want to go to Paris. Well, I want to go to Ghana. So I can see where I started, because if you don't know where you came from, then you're doomed to repeat that history, and we are bereft of the knowledge of who we actually are. Sorry, but you're stronger if you know where you belong. I'm gonna make everybody say amen. It's the first. I know I'm dropping hard nuggets, but the truth of the matter is that when God wants to bless you, he blesses you through belonging. You belong to a land. Everybody ought to be trying to get some kind of land that's theirs. Everybody ought to say, this is mine. I own this. This is my house. This is my space. This is my place. This is my thing. I'm going to keep it. I'm paying it off. I'm going to leave it to my children's children's children. Everybody ought to have an expectation of property. I speak it right now in the name of Jesus. Everybody ought to say, yes, what belongs to me? I'm telling you, you a whole nother somebody when you sitting in your own spot. You got a whole nother level of confidence when it's your place. And you will say to somebody, if you don't like it, you may leave. But this is my house. Let your mama get an attitude in your house. She'll be like, oh, no, you did not get an attitude in my house. Just like you used to say to me, I can't talk to you like that in your house. You cannot talk to me like that in my house. I pay the bills up in this. I am the one. This is my place. Gentlemen, I wouldn't live with a woman if I'm not paying for the place. I'm paying for the place. I can run all the air I want. I can run all the heat I want. I can drink all the juice I want. I bought that juice. You're a whole nother kind of insecure living with a woman in her place. If she asks you to take out the trash, you better take it out, because that ain't your trash. But save up your money and get your own loan and get your own mortgage and have your own thing and work your own two jobs and have your own place. You stand on your feet in a whole nother level and you feel confident. You'll be like, girl, go make your paper, boo-boo, because I know who I is. You shouldn't be shook by who make more if you own yours. Oh, I'm talking square biz to you. I'm saying to you, you a different somebody with some property. You belong to a call. You belong to yourself. No one should be able to hold you accountable as well as you. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. The time is out for us to just be frivolously out here, just floating as individuals. Understand, there is a power in an us word. And it's time for you to stop just being a me. Time to be a we. Put your hands together if you heard a word from the Lord.
Thank you for tuning in today with World Overcomers. We hope our message has empowered you to embrace the balanced victory that God has designed for you. If you're ever in the Raleigh-Durham area, we would love for you to be our guest on Sundays at 10 a.m. Be sure to share this message with someone today, and be sure to follow us on all of our World Overcomers social media platforms. Until we meet again, stay blessed, and see you in the next episode.